This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Lynnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. And I'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Plenty to get to here the next 3.5 hours. Before we get out of here, we'll be joined by former Super Bowl winning left tackle Ryan Harris, who's played a ton of years in the National Football League. We'll take a spin around the NFL with him when he joins the program. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we will also, as promised, continue our Washington Commanders position preview series as we get geared up for training camp. Exactly 1 week from today, veterans, rookies, all parties involved will be out in Ashburn for Washington Commanders training camp. There's an interesting question surrounding the Washington Commanders outside of our position preview series that I want to get to tonight as well. But I want to start off where we left off last night. Brandon Ayuk and the Washington Commanders seem to be a match made in heaven. Brandon Ayuk and the Washington Commanders seem to be the perfect fit. But as I'm realizing here, as we get further and further away from the initial scuttlebutt surrounding Ayuk in Washington, I don't want to say that I'm having remorse because nothing's happened yet. But I, honest to God, feel as if, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, Brandon Ayuk here in Washington isn't all it's cracked up to be. Nothing's really changed within the past 24 hours. We're still in the same spot in terms of where things stand between Ayuk and San Francisco. As I said last night, and I said initially when this thing first broke, I don't believe that Brandon Ayuk is going to ultimately get traded from the San Francisco 49ers. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think San Francisco is motivated enough for a deal to actually get done. Ayuk may want out as bad as ever. But if you're San Francisco, I continue to feel like they have all of the leverage. And I know some folks are going to say, well, look at how different this team could be without Ayuk. Doesn't he have leverage? Ricky Pearsall, their first-round wide receiver, just went on the non-football injury list. Doesn't that provide Ayuk leverage? And the honest answer is no. All of the leverage lies with the 49ers because they're the ones that ultimately can agree to his terms. And then two, if he decides to hold out and not show up and he demands a trade, which he already has, as of yesterday. But if he makes things uncomfortable and awkward and messy once training camp starts next week for San Francisco, they've got the leverage to send him wherever they please. Point blank. Now, Ayuk has maintained that, hey, look, I either want to be traded or paid. Now, San Fran doesn't want to do either. But this is where I get frustrated on the Niners' behalf. And I said this earlier today. On the Niners' behalf, it's frustrating for me because they continue to try and give him contract offers of a number two wide receiver. But when teams call to inquire about Ayuk's availability, they ask for the compensation of a number one wide receiver. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. That's the issue that we're running into when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers. And until we know for sure that Ayuk's going to hold out, I don't think there's any pressure right now on San Francisco. He's the one set to make just $14.25 million this year. He's the one that gets fined daily for not showing up. And if he doesn't report by week 8 of the regular season, he loses this year and doesn't get to hit free agency as originally scheduled. So I'll continue to say it to him blue in the face. San Francisco has all of the leverage in this situation. They do. They have all of the leverage here in this situation. They do. So I feel like, one, I continue to say the same thing. I don't think he ultimately gets dealt. But I also don't think he's going to get this long-term extension either. Because if San Francisco was going to pay him, wouldn't they have paid him by now? And this is what we discussed last night. We are in a situation where we know the track record of San Francisco. We went through the details last night. They waited until August to pay Kittle. They waited until July to pay Fred Warner. They waited until early August to pay Deebo Samuel. They waited all the way until week one last year to pay Nicky Bosa. So this is their track record. This is their MO. Do I think it makes sense? Hell no. Why wait? Why risk fracturing that relationship between star player and organization and potentially mess up the chemistry that you've worked so hard to build in San Francisco? Say what you want about their inability to get over the hump. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have done an excellent job turning San Francisco into one of the perennial powerhouses in the National Football League. They've earned that. But I think in this situation, they may have bleeped up, if you understand what I'm saying. According to Diana Russini, senior reporter for The Athletic, they want to keep Ayuk at around an offer of $26 to $27 million per year. And if I'm being realistic, if I'm Ayuk, those numbers simply aren't good enough. They aren't. Justin Jefferson averages $35 million annually. A.J. Brown averages $32 million annually. Amon-Ra St. Brown averages $30 million annually. If I'm Brandon Ayuk. If I am Ayuk, I look at Amon-Ra St. Brown's deal, and I look at the numbers that St. Brown has put up, and I go, man, we're kind of similar in terms of how our career has started out. But if you're Ayuk, you're always going to have this argument, as I mentioned last night. You're putting up damn good numbers in a situation where realistically you aren't supposed to. San Francisco is 32nd in the National Football League at throwing rate. They throw the fewest amount of times per game in the NFL since acquiring Christian McCaffrey. Yet Brandon Ayuk led the NFL in first down catches last year. Yet Brandon Ayuk, you want to talk about making a flip. He turned 75 catches into 1,400 yards. That doesn't happen. Let me give you some perspective. Last year, Amon-Ra St. Brown had 119 catches and only could muster up 1,500 yards. He turned 75 catches into 1,400 yards. That is big-time production from Brandon Ayuk. But as I continue to say in this situation and why it's so layered and why I don't think we're going towards some type of quick resolution, if you are a team trading for Brandon Ayuk, you got to imagine that because San Fran is motivated to keep him, the asking price of the Niners is going to be out of this world. And you got to ask yourself, right? Fellas, stick with me. You want to buy a Celine jumpsuit? You want to buy a Hugo Boss jumpsuit for the price of a Celine one? You get what I'm saying? Brandon Ayuk, there is debate as to how good he actually is, in my opinion. And this isn't me trying to talk down on Ayuk. This is just me being realistic. When you add context to the numbers that he has put up since entering the National Football League, specifically last year, because of San Francisco's ability to run the football, because of their other weapons, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk isn't getting the attention that a traditional number one wide receiver would get. All he's having to do, I'll give you this, because he made this argument on the pivot. He said, each week I get the opposing team's best corner. You should. You're the best wide receiver on the Niners. I don't think anyone would mistake Deebo Samuel for being a better wide receiver than Ayuk. He's a better weapon at this point. But yeah, you're going to get the opposing team's number one corner. But you're also getting single coverage. No safety looks because teams are having to stack eight in the box to stop Christian McCaffrey. So if I'm an opposing team thinking about acquiring Brandon Ayuk, I got to ask myself this. Can I replicate the ideal set of circumstances that Brandon Ayuk has come up under the past few years? Can I have an elite running game? Can I force teams to give me eight-man boxes? And if you're Washington, who seems to be like they're the odds-on favorite right now, are you willing to give up a first-round pick? Because that's what the price tag is. Some people out there are talking about a second and a fourth. This is an all-pro wide receiver from last year. The asking price, I have to assume, is going to be a first-rounder at minimum. In year one of a rebuild, does it make sense to give up such premium draft capital to acquire a guy that you may be able to draft in the first round next year and then not have to pay him until 4 or 5 years down the line? That's the interesting part of all of this. So I continue to feel like as we get closer to the start of training camp and San Fran set to report next Tuesday, or next Thursday rather, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think he's going to show up. And if he doesn't show up for day one of training camp, you then begin to think about, well, is he going to show up at all? We're going to see just how bad Brandon Ayuk wants to get out of San Francisco. Because the ball's in his court. San Francisco traditionally has done their business this late. Are the feathers ruffled, so to speak, of Brandon Ayuk? Is he going to be in his bag? Is he going to be in his feelings? Is he taking the negotiations as personal as he said that he was? And if he is, maybe he has played his last down as a member of the San Francisco 49ers. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take your calls on Brandon Ayuk if you got him. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, we will continue our Washington Commanders position preview series coming up later on in the show as we get closer and closer to the start of training camp. I'll say this one last note on Washington before we hit the break. And we asked this last night, didn't get a whole lot of feedback, but since most of you are stuck in traffic right now because of these storms outside, I'm hoping you can call your boy. Answer me this question. If you are the Washington Commanders, does it make sense for you to trade for Brandon Ayuk? Do you want Washington to trade for Brandon Ayuk? And then the second part of the question is this. If Washington is not able to acquire Brandon Ayuk, are you comfortable and confident in what Washington has at receiver heading into training camp? Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, Luke McCaffrey, the third rounder. There's a lot of moving parts here with this thing. And I'm realizing now as we get closer to the start of training camp that Brandon Ayuk ain't really bluffing. See, I'll be honest with you. I thought Ayuk was bluffing. And the reason I thought he was bluffing, I could not stand the way that he has played this thing out publicly within the media, from his comments on the pivot, from the TikTok heard around the world, with Jaden Daniels, to his comments being leaked out through his agency. I just don't agree with how Ayuk has handled the situation, but I'll be real with you. It's not stopping me from wanting to acquire him. It just makes me a little bit less hesitant, in my opinion. But as I continue to say, the price for Brandon Ayuk, I would have to imagine, is a first-round pick. If you are Washington, are you willing to part ways with a first-rounder to acquire Brandon Ayuk? And I understand the argument. People keep saying, well, oh, you know, you've got to do whatever you can to surround your young quarterback with a bevy of weapons to ensure that he hits the ground running. I agree with that. I do. I just happen to think you may already have the adequate weapons in-house for Jaden Daniels to start off fast next year. You may already have it. You may already have what it takes to allow him to have success between Terry, Jahan, the tight ends, your running back duo. I think you've got it already. But this becomes the question. How much are you willing to give up for Brandon Ayuk? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Mark is in Fredericksburg to lead us off here. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. So I would love to get Brandon Ayuk, but you got to think about it. We're definitely going to be picking in the top 10 next year, whether Jaden Daniels is great or not. So you're really going to give up a top 10 pick for a wide receiver when your biggest need is a left tackle. I just can't get my head around it. If you could package in John Allen in like a 4 or 5, I would do that. But to come off a first rounder, I don't think is logical at this point of where they're at.
Yeah, I agree with you as well, Mark. And the other part of this that I think doesn't get talked about enough, and I appreciate the call, in today's day and age in the National Football League, it is so much easier. I'm going to put it away, you know, my grandmother will put it. Boy, you think money grow on trees? Wide receivers at this point are quite literally growing on trees. You can get an elite wide receiver through the draft. And if you look at the track record of San Francisco, and Adam Peters being the guy making the picks, San Fran has done a pretty damn good job acquiring wide receiver talent. So if I'm the Commanders, hopefully Luke McCaffrey's a hit. But I would rather see Adam Peters go back to the well than give up a first-rounder and overpay for Brandon Ayuk. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. One, do you want the Washington Commanders to give up a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk? And then two, if they don't pull the trigger on the Ayuk deal, how confident are you in their skill position group going in to training camp? Eric is in Silver Spring. What's going on, E?
What's going on?
How you feeling?
First of all, like I was telling the guy who answered the phone, man, I don't want Ayuk. I don't like the diva in this. I just don't like the diva. I'm old school, man. I don't like these divas, man, that you everything is the media. Everything's on social media. You're showing flying private jets. First of all, so that caller, we're not picking top 10. We're winning the division.
Hey, Eric, that's what the hell I'm talking about, G. I feel like I'm the only guy that thinks it's possible.
Talking about, man, you think I ain't put my $100 on us winning that division? Come on now. We winning that division this year. And here's another thing, too. All right, so now you get Ayuk. I don't want him with Jaden Daniels. They're too friendly, too buddy-buddy. But then now you make McLaurin a number two? Like, nah, I don't think you go that route. San Francisco basically, when they drafted Pearsall, they basically were telling Ayuk or Debo, look, we can replace y'all.
Yeah, time is up for one of y'all.
Yeah, basically. You know what I'm saying? And Debo, you basically stole, because, I mean, you're an exciting player, but it's a lot of players like you, Debo, in the league. And, you know, you do a lot of all this, and you end up injured half the time. I don't know, what it is, but Ayuk, unless he was coming with the assistant general manager from San Francisco to the Commanders in his back pocket, and he, they got some type of deal where he said, look, I'll get you there. I don't think we should give up anything. And like you said, it's plenty of wide receivers in this NFL, and I mean college football, that you can get. Ayuk is nice. I didn't even know, man, that him and Daniels, they're so old.
I know,
well,
right?
Somebody's old.
Well, Daniels is kind of old, yeah.
Yeah, they was playing on Coach Herm Edwards.
Yep.
He was the coach.
Freshman year. That was Jaden's freshman season, yep.
Yeah, man. So I'm like, man, these guys, somebody's super old.
For sure.
But, yeah, man, I'm not with the IU guy. I say,
sure,
man, leave him. Let him be, man. And, it's just a nice little story because, the assistant general manager from the Niners. But let me tell you something. There's a reason why they drafted Pearsall.
For sure.
A reason, okay?
For sure.
And it was basically telling you can, they
don't
knew they
rocks.
Weren't going to come to a deal.
Straight up. Hey, Eric,
yeah,
I appreciate the call as always, my brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Dimitri out in Dublin, a.k.a. Waldorf. What's going on?
Hey, stop telling me like that.
I got you. Look, what's going on?
How you doing, man? You doing all right?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good. Doing
good.
Good.
My opinion, man, I don't think we should do it. I don't think we should do the IU thing. Honestly, my opinion, I think that we don't even know what we have yet in receiver. We think we know what we have,
good
but
point.
We don't. And,
good point.
And let me tell you why. We've been watching our receivers get the ball thrown to them by Heinicke, one leg Alex Smith, and whoever.
Kyle Allen,
there.
You name it. Yeah.
Kyle Allen.
YMCAS quarterback play.
Yeah, basically. So now that we got, we don't know if we have an elite quarterback yet, but now that we got somebody that's decent, now we're going to see if we actually got something. We don't even know who Deami Brown is yet, really,
sure.
until we throw the ball to him, Luke McCaffrey might ride the bench. I'm not even going to hold
you. Let me say this, Dimitri. The one thing about McCaffrey and why I'm betting on him being somebody that's featured, he's putting in the work every morning with Jaden Daniels at 5:45 a.m. The coaching staff
is
going to take note of
that's
that. Reported when I was out there at mandatory minicamp that he was taking handoffs. So he's going to be a part of this offense one way or another.
Let's go. But that's what I'm saying, man. We don't even know what we have. Like, we may have somebody that's better than Ayuk on the roster.
You just don't know
yet. We don't know it because Taylor Heinicke can only throw it 30 yards.
For sure.
Now, I love my boy. I really do because he's one of us.
You know what I'm saying?
He's one of us. But, now
it is
we
what
got
it is.
Somebody, let's see what we got.
But, Dimitri, let me say this here real quick, and I appreciate the call as always. I feel as if what we were saying about the receivers and not knowing what we actually have, we all view Terry McLaurin here locally as like a top 15 receiver. And this has been with JV level quarterback play. We may have our star wide receiver already under contract if they can get someone who can get Terry McLaurin the damn football. Top of the 7 o'clock hour coming up here on 106.7 The Fan. Overtime will continue on the other side of this break. We had Summer League basketball last night. The Wizards played Summer League game number 3. And let's just be real, a disappointing effort from the number 2 overall pick, Alex Sarr. We'll break it down next here on The Fan. Just getting rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Programming note, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we will be joined by former Super Bowl winning champion Ryan Harris talking all things National Football League as we get geared up for NFL training camp. The Houston Texans, the first team to have both their rookies and vets report to camp. They were out there this afternoon. The Kansas City Chiefs had their rookies report earlier today. They had their rookies and their quarterbacks report today. So a little bit of an interesting schedule for Big Red and Andy Reid out there. The footage, though, that everyone in Kansas City is, you know, drooling over, their tackle, Kingsley Suamatia, the rookie that they drafted out of BYU, him and old Pat Mahomes walking down to the practice field, a sight to see if you are a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Before we get out of here, I'll give you the team that I think is the biggest threat to the three-peat of the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to switch gears here completely, though. We started off talking all things burgundy and gold, recapping the Brandon Ayuk trade, and took some of your calls on where you all stand on it and whether or not you'd be willing to give up a first-round pick. Phone line's still open on that, 1-800-636-1067. But I want to switch gears here real quick. If we don't get any calls, I want to switch gears here real quick because NBA Summer League, to me, I always say it, it's not the place to make overarching declarative statements. Wow, that came out as a tongue twister. But you get what I'm saying? You can't stand on business with your takes, basically, coming out of just Summer League. Now, as I keep mentioning our guy Johnny Davis, we knew a couple of years ago when he was in Vegas during Summer League, struggling the way that he was, you're probably not going to figure it out. If you are a guy that struggles in NBA Summer League, odds are probably not going to figure it out during your rookie season in the NBA. And for Johnny Davis a few years ago, he was struggling offensively. He was struggling on defense. He was just lost. The big conversation coming out of last night's Summer League game for the Wizards is, man, what's going on with Alex Saar? Seriously, what is going on with Alex Saar? Last night, Alex Saar, historically bad. 0 points, 0-15 from the field, 0-7 from beyond the arc. And through the first three games, if you're driving out there, close your ears right now or pull over because this may make you crash. The number two overall pick for the Washington Wizards, Alex Saar, 8-41 from the field as he started his career. It's god-awful. It ain't good. The shooting numbers have been a little bit concerning for me regarding Alex Saar. I mentioned 8-41 from the field, 2-17 from beyond the arc. Now, I will say this because I know some folks are upset about the amount of shots he is taking on the perimeter and the amount of time he is spending on the perimeter. I would say this about Saar and his shot selection to this point. It would not stun me at all, and honestly, it's my only logical explanation at this point. It wouldn't stun me if Will Dawkins, Brian Keefe, and company said, you know what? Hey, big bro, it's Summer League. Do your thing. Play loose and free offensively and work on the things that you need to improve on. And the perimeter shot we know is a work in progress with him. But even though he missed and had some bad misses, I think the fluidity at 7'1" is there. He's fluid. He can move. You know, he looks like, I don't want to get hyperbolic here, but like 7'1" guys aren't supposed to be able to pound the rock like that. 7'1" guys aren't supposed to be as comfortable pushing the ball from one end to the other the way that Alex Saar is. So to me, like, that is something encouraging that we're seeing on the offensive end. I thought his playmaking ability in those short roll situations, he was excellent, making that kick out pass to the corner. He was good at that. He even hit a turnaround jumper. Or a free throw line jumper on Sunday against the Rockets where initially the defender was in his shooting zone. He had to ball fake him and readjust and reset for the shot, and he hit it. Now, fortunately, I don't know if Saar's made a jump shot since then, but what we're seeing from this kid, I'll be real with you, is nothing to panic about at all. Let me get that straight. What we're seeing from Alex Sard at this point is nothing to panic about, but I do have some concerns. I do have some concerns. And Uptown Don, you probably remember this. I said it on draft night. I love to pick. If they like it, I love it. We're at the mercy of the evaluator, blah, blah, blah. My whole thing was this. To draft someone number two overall that is that limited offensively, I don't know if you can get away with it, right? I don't know how much patience fans are going to have. And quite frankly, well, we know the Wizards front office got all day long. But fans, I know. I see the comments on Twitter already. Y'all are already declaring this kid Kwame Brown. Y'all are already declaring this kid a bust. Simply not the case. I saw an Anthony Bennett comparison. They said he's just a French Anthony Bennett. Come on. Put some respect on Alex Sarr. Say what you want about offense and where he is at right now at that point in time. They didn't draft him for his offensive ability, clearly, right? If they did, then somebody else to be out of a job over there in Cap One Arena. But, of course, they didn't draft him for his offensive ability. They drafted him because of how special he can be on the defensive end of the floor. And in today's day and age in the NBA, and you saw it throughout the finals and the playoffs, where pick and roll is run at such a high volume, to have a big man like Sarr who can switch on the guards and not get broken down or blown by, that's an asset. And honestly, to me, I think it's a more important defensive quality than his shot blocking ability. Because he's going to be able to shot block and alter shots all day long. Even on that end of the floor, though, when he's in those shot-blocking situations, you saw it on Sunday. I'll admit, last night I didn't get to watch as much because I was on here with you guys. But the one thing that irked me, as a 7'1" big with a wingspan of like 7'6", 7'7", you don't have to jump on shot fakes. He's got to do a better job staying on his feet. Because think about it. If you're getting fooled by a weak shot fake from a rookie, wait until you're playing up against Joel Embiid and you think you're about to block his shot and he ball fakes you. Now you're up in the air. Now you just picked up your fifth foul in the first half. He's got to work on defending without fouling. He's got to work on shot selection, which I don't think is that big of an issue because I think the Wizards brass had to have been saying, hey, look, go work out and do you. But the one thing about Sarr that I'm worried about that you can't necessarily coach up. And I know y'all going to be down my throat for this, but pause. He's soft. I know. I said it. Alex Sarr is soft. He looked soft right away. And Wizards GM Will Dawkins talked about this after the draft during his media availability, saying, hey, look, we're going to have to get him to become more willing of a rebounder. Huh? Your ass is 7'1". You better be under the basket ready to grab rebounds. He doesn't look too interested in that aspect and that facet of the game. He wants to hang around the perimeter too much. And if you're going to be knocking the shots down at a high rate, I don't have a problem with that. There are plenty of bigs that aren't great rebounders. Karl Anthony Towns is not a great rebounder, but is someone that can give you electric offense. Kevin Durant, when he plays the four, isn't an electric rebounder, but is somebody that can give you instant offense. So I'm not really worried about the rebounding unless he's going to turn into those guys, and that's just not who he is. So my biggest concern, though, when it comes to Sarr, and his mentality is, one, it's not something you can coach. And then two, as I'm watching him, like I said yesterday, I couldn't watch as much. His motor doesn't run hot, if that makes sense. His motor doesn't run hot. I need him to play harder, possession in, possession out, down the floor. And I'm not accusing him of not playing hard. I don't know if maybe he's not in the best shape right now, which I can understand. Pre-draft process is wonky. Your schedule gets thrown off. I get all of that. But you can't tell me watching the first three summer league games that you feel Alex Sarr is as advertised. I just don't think you could do that. I don't look at him as being a guy that's worthy of being selected with that number two overall pick in terms of where he was offensively. Now, I understand why the pick was ultimately made. His offense is a work in progress. Defensively, though, like, he can be a difference maker in year number one. I fully believe that. I think he could for damn sure be a difference maker in year number one. But it's only going to be on the defensive end of the floor. There's layers to this conversation because I feel as if you're Washington and you're looking at this development arc, in order to speed things up, you need opportunity. And last year, it took Bilal a long time, it felt like, before he got his first start because of the logjam that they had at his position. I think this year with Alex Sarr drafting him second overall, I will admit I would feel some type of way if he is not the starter at the power forward for all 82 games next year. He needs the work. He needs the opportunity to get better offensively. He needs that. No better way to do it than starting and playing 30 minutes tonight. But then some people are going to say, where are you getting the shots from? This is where it gets steamy for me. I love what Kyle Kuzma's done for the DMV since he's been here. I think his demeanor, his temperament during last year when things were ugly, he never skipped out on media availability. He never tried to scoot out of the locker room super quick. That wasn't who he was. He took it on the chin every time. It's time for him to go. He does not align with Washington's current timeline. He just doesn't. He just doesn't. And at this point, knowing that he wants to play the power forward position, he's now taking away minutes from Alex Sarr, and I can't have that. Not only is he going to be taking away minutes, he's then taking away shots. And like I said, I want Sarr to have the complete runway to work on his offensive game at his pace. And yeah, we're going to see maybe another 0-for-7 night from three. The fact that he had the confidence, though, to take them and keep on taking them, I talk about mentality and how important it is. That's a big portion of it right there, though. The ability to not discourage when you miss shots and believe that you got the best stroke in the room. Now, Sarr probably knows that isn't true, but that mentality is what he is going to need on a possession-in, possession-out basis to have consistent success here. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Are you concerned about the way Alex Sarr played in his preseason, in summer league game number three? And are you concerned about his offensive game to this point through three games in the summer league? 8-of-41 from the field, 2-of-17 from the three-point line. I'm not worried, not panicked, but I am a little bit concerned. And the things that I'm concerned about, as I've kind of already spilled out here to you, don't have much to do with his offensive game. I need his mentality to change drastically. Got to get tougher. You got to have more of a desire to want to bang. That's why last night I thought was so important for him. It was the perfect measuring stick. Going up against Donovan Clingan, a true bona fide big man that was in contention for that number one pick, if you follow the Atlanta Hawks and what they've been talking about, I genuinely feel as if, you know what? Last night wasn't a good look from Alex Sarr, man. I'm not panicked over it. I think he's still got room to grow. But it was very evident that he's got some major work to do. And lucky for him, the Wizards aren't expected to be very good. They can focus on player development because Sarr needs it. Now, say what you want. The most realistic comp I continue to say for Sarr is like an Evan Mobley type. And we know, I don't even know if I'm accurate saying that. Like, Evan Mobley, if he gets to that, it's considered like a luxury, right? If he turns in to Evan Mobley. But let's just think about what Evan Mobley has been during his career to this point for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Plenty of defensive upside. Really good on that end of the floor. Still doesn't feel like, though, his offensive game is caught up. and he's now going in. This was year three for him. If Alex Saar ends up giving you 16-9 with a block and a half, can you live with that from your number two overall pick? Yeah, I can. Mobley was the number three overall pick and put up numbers similar to those. But I continue to say it. He's already way further ahead defensively. I want the motor to run a little bit more hot. I want him to try a little bit harder. But then on the defensive end of the floor, keep doing what you're doing. He competes his tail off. I love that about him. But offensively, man, I wonder when we get into the regular season, how is he used on that end of the floor? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. After Wizards first-round pick Alex Saar went 0-for-15 in last night's Summer League game, you're concerned at all about the start that he's had through three games in the Las Vegas Summer League. Josh is out in D.C. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, what's going on? I'm not concerned at all because that's basically what the scouting report said when he was coming out when we drafted him. And he's better defensively because they always say someone's good. They say Bronny's good defensively. Everyone's good defensively.
Right.
But he's a lot better defensively than what I thought. And they already know what the work they had ahead of them. So I'm going to just put my faith in the front office. But I'm not concerned at all.
Let me ask you this. Looking back on it, how do you feel about drafting a guy number two overall that is as raw as he is right now offensively?
I think these everyone is good in the NBA. I think the talent he has is rare in the NBA. Actually, I think it'd be probably easy for him to work on his jumper more. He has the NBA trainers with him. I think it'd be an easier learning curve to him to just be out there just spotting up. I've seen a lot of good things from him, like how he moves, his IQ. He has a high IQ.
Yeah.
He doesn't do stupid things out there. So I think it'll be easier.
I agree with
him.
The movement skills, I think, are damn good. He's a unicorn in terms of the ability to get it off the defensive glass and push. Even on the shots that he's missing, Josh, even though he's, 0-for-17 last night or 0-for-15 last night, they aren't all horrible misses. He had a couple air balls, but the shot looks fluid.
Got to get closer to the basket. Yeah. Use your height. That's
for
all.
Sure. And I think that is something that's coming from the front office saying, hey, look, while you're in summer league, let's work on your perimeter game. Josh, I appreciate the call as always, my brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. My guy Rob out in D.C. always pops out when we're talking all things Washington Wizards. What's going on, Rob? How you feeling, my man?
Hey, what's up, L? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, brother. Good to hear from you, my man.
Yeah. I like Bub. I have to tell you that.
For
man,
sure.
Bub is going to be tough. That young, and he's only 18, so the sky's the limit for him. You can see the you know, how tough he's going to be. When it comes to Saar, now, he got a lot of work to put in. I mean, he got a lot of work to put in. So, like the guy just said, we knew what we was drafting. We knew he was better on the defensive end. So they're going to have to develop him. He has all the traits and skill. So for him, it's not going to happen overnight. And let me give you this before I leave, Linnell. A young man named Giannis Antetokounmpo came in the league. Looked like he couldn't tie his shoestrings together. He came in lanky, long, you know what I mean? Wasn't strong. He got pushed around in the summer league debut.
Wow.
That's what he kind of reminded me of. You know, you seen the skill, but you knew he had to grow into it.
Yes.
So if I'm looking 2-3 years ahead, man, with the skill set this guy had, if he go in there and build up his strength, learn the game and, progress every year in, year out, and get that strength. Because when he come downhill, like Giannis, once Giannis figured it out and got his strength, and when he started coming downhill, it was all over. So
never
I'm
going
to give this guy a couple of years to develop, man. As long as he's going to put the work in, he got the skill set, Linnell. So
yeah.
I think it's possible that this guy going to turn out to be okay. You can't go off the 0-15. He just had a bad night. It's going to happen. But you see the shot, the form, everything is there. A lot of times he went down on the block, Linnell. He threw his back to the basket move. He just wasn't strong enough to finish the shot.
Right.
I mean, he lost the guy with the shake and bake move, but he couldn't finish because he's just not strong enough because he's only, 20?
Yep.
And so once he built his strength up, he got the skill set. Build your strength up.
Now, when he come downhill and 2 years of being strong and getting that grown man strength, and you know, as the same thing with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
When Kevin Durant first came to the league, he couldn't lock a guy down on that block. You know, he was too weak. But over time, in a couple of years, and Durant got that strength, and he locked you in on that block, it was nothing you could do. So get a guy a couple of years, get that strength. Okay, hell, I'm out, buddy.
Hey, Rob, I appreciate you, as always, my man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I think Rob probably – this is my third show of the day. Rob has probably made the best comparison to this point, comparing him to Giannis. I was trying to think of a comp because I'm like, man – he don't just look goofy out there, right? It's he's just missing. I think it is a little bit of, but if I say Giannis, people are gonna get up and be in a tizzy. But I do think like there is some Giannis to his game. As Rob alluded to, though, it's all about his development and how much work he's willing to put in order to get better. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Alex Sarr's draft mate and teammate. Our guy Bub Carrington, Baltimore Bub, as I'm calling him, continues to turn heads during NBA Summer League. I'll give you my thoughts on Bub, plus compare him and Alex Sarr long term. That's next here on The Fan. One 800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Before we hand things over to the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network, talking all things Wizards Summer League, has had a rough loss last night, but a spirited effort from the young Washington Wizards Summer League team. In particular, our guy Bub Carrington out of the University of Pittsburgh, Baltimore native, a graduate of St. Francis Academy in Baltimore. He was awesome last night. 20 points all in the second half. He has been tremendous to this point. And honestly, let's just be real, all-around game has been the most impressive member of the Washington Wizards Summer League. But we started off our Wizards Summer League discussion talking about the number 2 overall pick, Alex Sarr, and some of his struggles to this point. Last night, 0-15 from the field, 0-7 from the three-point line. In his 3 games, Alex Sarr, 8-41 in 2-17 from the three-point line. It's been a debacle offensively for him. It's way too early, I admit this. But I am concerned a little bit about his offensive game. But the thing that's honestly got me the most troubled is I don't feel like he's playing effort-wise and with a motor that I thought we would see from a guy that is a number 2 overall pick and doesn't have much offense. He competes his tail off on defense. When I'm talking about motor, I mean, and I guess I never have understood this because I've never been 7'1 and thinking I can block every shot. I used to get annoyed in high school where guys would have, like, a dude right in front of him and a rebound and scrum, and you just watching, not trying to block the shot. We got that from Alex Sarr a couple of times in summer league. Get in the mix if you're big Alex Sarr. That's what I want to see from him. But like I continue to say, his perimeter defense is the best trait that he's got to this point. But after the numbers that he's put up here in these first 3 games, you concerned at all about Alex Sarr and how he's going to be how his development is going to continue as the regular season picks up? And then, would you say that at this point, Bub Carrington, who we haven't talked about in much detail, would you say to this point, Bub Carrington has been the best Wizards player during the summer league? Let's go to Daniel in Germantown. What's going on, Daniel?
Hey, how you doing, Linnell?
I'm good. What's going on, bro?
I think that one of the biggest things you touched on was Winger and Dawkins just kind of saying, go play your game, do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I really like the addition of Valanciunas because I think that will help him grow overall in a couple years to just where we want him to be. I think he is so raw right now that you can't make an official assessment, so I'm not really worried.
Yeah, I will say this, right? You mentioned the shot selection portion of this. In today's day and age in the NBA, where having a stretch big is obviously a prereq to being a good team, I don't mind that they're focusing on him, improving that aspect of his game, but I definitely think it's something, as you mentioned, that he's very raw with.
Yeah, 100%.
Daniel, I appreciate the call as always. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I mentioned Sar's teammate, Carlton Bubb Carrington from the University of Pittsburgh. He has been, he's been good. He's been good. That's the best way that I can put it. Bubb's got, now first of all, y'all know how I get down when it comes to the DMV. We don't include us Marylanders and DC folk. We don't include Baltimore in the DMV unless it's beneficial for us. And in this moment, we claiming Bubb. Bubb is from B-more. Bubb is from the DMV. And he has played with that Baltimore grit and that Baltimore toughness in each of the first three games that we've seen here to this point. He has been as advertised. And I said it. I expected big things out of him during Summer League because this Summer League showcase is normally, you know, built for guards to succeed. On the flip side, right, there is no other big in Summer League that is having a good offensive performance at this point. So Sar isn't in the minority with that. But the one thing I'll continue to say about Bubb Carrington is what we talked about coming out. He's got tremendous feel. Oh, my goodness. So I guess the computer in studio was due for an update. It just completely just crapped out on me, so I have nothing in front of me all of a sudden. But it was his skill set offensively is something that is easily translated over from the University of Pittsburgh, and it feels like he's only going to get better. In terms of their impact in year one, I still think Sar, despite being limited offensively, is going to have the bigger impact in year one because of what he's going to be asked to do, playing that power forward spot, switching on the guards on the perimeter, impacting shots at the rim, blocking shots at the rim. Like, those are all things he's able to do right away. What I'm curious to see is how long it takes his offense to come along. Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? Is it next year? Is it midway through the season? Now, the last one of the callers, Rob, I believe, made a good point about how Giannis Antetokounmpo started. Giannis was not this fluid with the basketball in his hands and shooting the ball the way Sar is. So if you're going to label the Giannis stuff, man, he may have a higher ceiling than Giannis. Now, obviously, if he reaches that point, he's going to be awesome. It would be awesome for the franchise, but concern would be a strong word to describe how I feel about him. I just think, not to put Sar down to pump up Bubb Carrington, I just think Bubb Carrington has been head and shoulders better than him. He may make the All-Summer League first team. Straight up. He's been that good. Shooting off the dribble. He got to the cup. I thought he showed real good feel and patience in the pick and roll using that snake dribble. You saw him getting his teammates involved. And then his ability to shoot it off the bounce, I think, is what's special. He had a pull-up three in transition yesterday where it's like, damn. 18-year-old ain't supposed to be able to do that. And that's the other thing. He's 18 years old. Can't even drink yet. Stinks for him because he may need a drink or two based on how the Wizards are going to get their ass whipped next year. But, hey, look, he's here for the long haul. And I personally think Bubb Carrington's got a legit shot to be the point guard of the future for the Washington Wizards. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Alex Sar versus Bubb Carrington. Who do you think has the bigger impact next year? And who do you think ultimately has the better career? We'll discuss that next here on The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, as promised, we will continue our Washington Commanders position preview series, part three, coming up here tonight as we take a look at the linebackers and the running backs as we get geared up for NFL training camp. Talked about it at the top of the show, the Commanders 1 week away from reporting to Ashburn for day number one of NFL training camp. Rookies, vets, all together for the burgundy and gold. That's coming up next week. We'll continue our position preview series coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, though, I want to continue the conversation on the Washington Wizards. Gave you my thoughts on Bub Carrington. I gave you my thoughts on Alex Saar. Looking big picture, after what you saw from both of those guys during their three contests in Summer League, what is more likely? Who is more likely to have the better long-term career? And then who's more likely to impact the Wizards next year? In terms of impacting the Wiz next year, I think you got to go with Alex Saar. He simply is just going to have more opportunity because of the position that he's playing. Washington's got Jordan Poole in the backcourt. They've got Corey Kispert, Bilal Coulibaly, Malcolm Brogdon. You know, Bub, we don't know how quickly his minutes and opportunities are going to come. For Alex Saar, as I said, I would want him to be my starting power forward for all 82 games next year. For all 82 games next year. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, trade him. Don't need Kyle Kuzma taking shots away from Alex Saar. But like I said, he's going to be able to make an impact defensively right away next year. And I think whether it's altering shots, blocking shots, switching out on the perimeter to guard these athletic guards, like whatever impact he has defensively is going to be felt because the Wizards stunk last year as a team on defense. They stunk on defense. Their defensive rebounding wasn't good. And that's the area to me where I'm worried about with Saar. Can he develop the dog mentality to rebound? We don't know yet. In terms of short-term projection, I think Alex Saar is going to be able to make more of an impact right away. Long-term, though, I think is where it gets interesting. Because like I said, Saar could be Evan Mobley. 16 points, 9 rebounds, block and a half. Not an all-star, but he's number 2 overall pick. Bub Carrington, I think, has legit all-star level potential at the league guard spot. I genuinely feel like he can prove himself to be one of the better guards in the NBA. Competitive on defense, explosive athlete, floor general, and ultimately a competitor. That, to me, is what has been most impressive about Bub is him being a competitor. He's all about ball all the time. And I think it's so hard. I say it in football all the time, but like college athletes, period. Like it is the toughest time ever to be a high school athlete and a college athlete based on how heavily involved social media is. That's how I feel about it. Bub Carrington's probably seen all the noise being talked about him on social from fans of Pitt that think he's trash or high school folks that think he's trash. But he's in the NBA. So how trash is he? I think that kid's just got the right mental makeup, man, to be a legit bubbing star in this league, right? In terms of budding star, but you get what I'm saying. Like, he's a legit scorer. Let's just call it what it is. I continue to be impressed with how he works in the pick and roll. And then his shots off the dribble, it's textbook. So use teach tape on how well our guy is shooting the basketball. It is so, so necessary. It is. He's got a chance to be good. I still, though, feel like just based on the measurables, it's close for me. But I think Saar, to me, still is the better projection and has the more upside moving forward when it comes to the totality of their career. I think he's got a better chance to be a better player. But I wouldn't be stunned if it ends up where Bub Carrington ultimately is the Wizards' best player from this rookie class. One cat we didn't mention, Keyshawn George, 20-year-old out of the University of Miami, left after his freshman campaign, played overseas the year before coming to Miami, and he's looked good. He shot the ball really well. I thought he's better as a ball handler than I initially gave him credit for. The only disappointing part about Summer League, when it comes to Sarr in particular, I can't really say it about the other two, I just wanted the motor to run more hot. I wanted him to play with more of a sense of urgency. Because let's be real, Doc Walker says it all the time, man, canines. You can't teach dog mentality. You either got it or you don't. And with Alex Sarr, the early returns through three games of Summer League is that he simply doesn't have it. Top of the 8 o'clock hour coming up here on Overtime. We will continue part three of our Washington Commanders position preview series. Linebackers and running backs coming up next here on The Fan. one 800 636 1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's Overtime here on 1067 The Fan. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Before we hand things over to the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network, talking all things Wizards Summer League, has had a rough loss last night, but a spirited effort from the young Washington Wizards Summer League team. In particular, our guy Bub Carrington out of the University of Pittsburgh, Baltimore native, a graduate of St. Francis Academy in Baltimore. He was awesome last night. 20 points all in the second half. He has been tremendous to this point. And honestly, let's just be real, all-around game has been the most impressive member of the Washington Wizards Summer League. But we started off our Wizards Summer League discussion talking about the number two overall pick, Alex Sarr, and some of his struggles to this point. Last night, 0 of 15 from the field, 0 of 7 from the three-point line. In his three games, Alex Sarr, 8 of 41 in 2 of 17 from the three-point line. It's been a debacle offensively for him. It's way too early, I admit this, but I am concerned a little bit about his offensive game. But the thing that's honestly got me the most troubled is I don't feel like he's playing effort-wise and with a motor that I thought we would see from a guy that is a number two overall pick and doesn't have much offense. He competes his tail off on defense. When I'm talking about motor, I mean, and I guess I never have understood this because I've never been 7'1 and thinking I can block every shot. I used to get annoyed in high school where guys would have, like, a dude right in front of him in a rebound and scrum, and you just watching, not trying to block the shot. We got that from Alex Sarr a couple of times in Summer League. Get in the mix if you big Alex Sarr. That's what I want to see from him. But like I continue to say, his perimeter defense is the best trait that he's got to this point. But after the numbers that he's put up here in these first three games, you concerned at all about Alex Sarr and how he's going to be how his development is going to continue as the regular season picks up? And then, would you say that at this point, Bub Carrington, who you haven't talked about in much detail, would you say to this point, Bub Carrington has been the best Wizards player during the Summer League? Let's go to Daniel in Germantown. What's going on, Daniel?
Hey, how you doing, Linnell?
I'm good. What's going on, bro?
I think that one of the biggest things you touched on was Winger and Dawkins just kind of saying, go play your game, do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I really like the addition of Valanciunas because I think that will help him grow overall in a couple years to just where we want him to be. I think he is so raw right now that you can't make an official assessment, so I'm not really worried.
Yeah, I will say this, right? You mentioned the shot selection portion of this. In today's day and age in the NBA, where having a stretch big is obviously a prereq to being a good team, I don't mind that they're focusing on him, improving that aspect of his game, but I definitely think it's something, as you mentioned, that he's very raw with.
Yeah, 100%.
Daniel, I appreciate the call as always. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I mentioned Sarr's teammate, Carlton Bub Carrington from the University of Pittsburgh. He has been He's been good. He's been good. That's the best way that I can put it. Bub's got... Now, first of all, y'all know how I get down when it comes to the DMV. We don't include us Marylanders and D.C. folk. We don't include Baltimore in the DMV unless it's beneficial for us. And in this moment, we claiming Bub. Bub is from B-more. Bub is from the DMV. And he has played with that Baltimore grit and that Baltimore toughness in each of the first three games that we've seen here to this point. He has been as advertised. And I said it. I expected big things out of him during Summer League because this Summer League showcase is normally, you know, built for guards to succeed. On the flip side, right, there is no other big in Summer League that is having a good offensive performance at this point. So Sarr isn't in the minority with that. But the one thing I'll continue to say about Bub Carrington is what we talked about coming out. He's got tremendous feel. Oh, my goodness. So I guess the computer in studio was due for an update. It just completely just crapped out on me, so I have nothing in front of me all of a sudden. But it was his skill set offensively is something that is easily translated over from the University of Pittsburgh. And it feels like he's only going to get better. In terms of their impact in year one, I still think Sarr, despite being limited offensively, is going to have the bigger impact in year one because of what he's going to be asked to do. Play in that power forward spot. Switching on the guards on the perimeter. Impacting shots at the rim. Blocking shots at the rim. Like, those are all things he's able to do right away. What I'm curious to see is how long it takes his offense to come along. Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? Is it next year? Is it midway through the season? Now, the last one of the callers, Rob, I believe, made a good point about how Giannis Antetokounmpo started. Giannis was not this fluid with the basketball in his hands and shooting the ball the way Sarr is. So if you're going to label the Giannis stuff, man, he may have a higher ceiling than Giannis. Now, obviously, if he reaches that point, he's going to be awesome. It would be awesome for the franchise, but concern would be a strong word to describe how I feel about him. I just think, not to put Sarr down to pump up Bub Carrington, I just think Bub Carrington has been head and shoulders better than him. He may make the All-Summer League first team. Straight up. He's been that good. Shooting off the dribble. He got to the cup. I thought he showed real good feel and patience in the pick and roll using that snake dribble. You saw him get his teammates involved. And then his ability to shoot it off the bounce, I think, is what's special. He had a pull-up three in transition yesterday where it's like, damn, 18-year-old ain't supposed to be able to do that. And that's the other thing. He's 18 years old. Can't even drink yet. Stinks for him because he may need a drink or two based on how the Wizards are going to get their ass whipped next year. But look, he's here for the long haul. And I personally think Bub Carrington's got a legit shot to be the point guard of the future for the Washington Wizards. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Alex Sarr versus Bub Carrington. Who do you think has the bigger impact next year? And who do you think ultimately has the better career? We'll discuss that next here on The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, as promised, we will continue our Washington Commanders position preview series. Part 3 coming up here tonight as we take a look at the linebackers and the running backs as we get geared up for NFL training camp. Talked about it at the top of the show. The Commanders 1 week away from reporting to Ashburn for day number one of NFL training camp. Rookies, vets, all together for the Burgundy and Gold. That's coming up next week. We'll continue our position preview series coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, though, I want to continue the conversation on the Washington Wizards. Gave you my thoughts on Bub Carrington. I gave you my thoughts on Alex Carr. Looking big picture, after what you saw from both of those guys during their three contests in Summer League, what is more likely? Who is more likely to have the better long-term career? And then who's more likely to impact the Wizards next year? In terms of impacting the Wiz next year, I think you got to go with Alex Carr. He simply is just going to have more opportunity because of the position that he's playing. Washington's got Jordan Poole in the backcourt. They've got Corey Kisper, Bilal Coulibaly, Malcolm Brogdon. You know, Bub, we don't know how quickly his minutes and opportunities are going to come. For Alex Carr, as I said, I would want him to be my starting power forward for all 82 games next year. For all 82 games next year. I know what some of you were thinking. Well, trade him. Don't need Kyle Kuzma taking shots away from Alex Carr. But like I said, he's going to be able to make an impact defensively right away next year. And I think whether it's altering shots, blocking shots, switching out on the perimeter to guard these athletic guards, like whatever impact he has defensively is going to be felt, because the Wizards stunk last year as a team on defense. They stunk on defense. Their defensive rebounding wasn't good. And that's the area to me where I'm worried about with Carr. Can he develop the dog mentality to rebound? We don't know yet. In terms of short-term projection, I think Alex Carr is going to be able to make more of an impact right away. Long-term, though, I think is where it gets interesting. Because like I said, Carr could be Evan Mobley. 16 points, 9 rebounds, block and a half. Not an all-star, but he's number 2 overall pick. Bub Carrington, I think, has legit all-star level potential at the league guard spot. I genuinely feel like he can prove himself to be one of the better guards in the NBA. Competitive on defense, explosive athlete, floor general, and ultimately a competitor. That, to me, is what has been most impressive about Bub, is him being a competitor. He's all about ball all the time. And I think it's so hard. I say it in football all the time, but like college athletes, period. Like, it is the toughest time ever to be a high school athlete and a college athlete based on how heavily involved social media is. That's how I feel about it. Bub Carrington's probably seen all the noise being talked about him on social from fans of Pitt that think he's trash, or high school folks that think he's trash, but he's in the NBA. So how trash is he? I think that kid's just got the right mental makeup, man, to be a legit bubbing star in this league, right? The term is budding star, but you get what I'm saying. Like, he's a legit scorer. Let's just call it what it is. I continue to be impressed with how he works in the pick and roll. And then his shots off the dribble, it's textbook. So use teach tape on how well our guy is shooting the basketball. It is so, so necessary. It is. He's got a chance to be good. I still, though, feel like just based on the measurables, it's close for me. But I think Carr, to me, still is the better projection and has the more upside moving forward when it comes to the totality of their career. I think he's got a better chance to be a better player. But I wouldn't be stunned if it ends up where Bub Carrington ultimately is the Wizards' best player from this rookie class. One cat we didn't mention, Keyshawn George, 20-year-old out of the University of Miami, left after his freshman campaign, played overseas the year before coming to Miami, and he's looked good. He shot the ball really well. I thought he's better as a ball handler than I initially gave him credit for. The only disappointing part about Summer League, when it comes to Carr in particular, I can't really say it about the other two, I just wanted the motor to run more hot. I wanted him to play with more of a sense of urgency. Because let's be real, Doc Walker says it all the time, man, canines. You can't teach dog mentality. You either got it or you don't. And with Alex Carr, the early returns through three games of Summer League is that he simply doesn't have it. Top of the 8 o'clock hour coming up here on Overtime. We will continue part 3
of our Washington Commanders position preview series. Linebackers and running backs coming up next here on The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, as promised, we will continue our Washington Commanders position preview series, part three, coming up here tonight as we take a look at the linebackers and the running backs as we get geared up for NFL training camp. Talked about it at the top of the show, the Commanders 1 week away from reporting to Ashburn for day number one of NFL training camp. Rookies, vets, all together for the Burgundy and Gold. That's coming up next week. We'll continue our position preview series coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, though, I want to continue the conversation on the Washington Wizards. Gave you my thoughts on Bub Carrington. I gave you my thoughts on Alex Saar. Looking big picture, after what you saw from both of those guys during their three contests in Summer League, what is more likely? Who is more likely to have the better long-term career? And then who's more likely to impact the Wizards next year? In terms of impacting the Wiz next year, I think you got to go with Alex Saar. He simply is just going to have more opportunity because of the position that he's playing. Washington's got Jordan Poole in the backcourt. They've got Corey Kisper, Bilal Coulibaly, Malcolm Brogdon. You know, Bub, we don't know how quickly his minutes and opportunities are going to come. For Alex Saar, as I said, I would want him to be my starting power forward for all 82 games next year. For all 82 games next year. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, trade him. Don't need Kyle Kuzma taking shots away from Alex Saar. But like I said, he's going to be able to make an impact defensively right away next year. And I think whether it's altering shots, blocking shots, switching out on the perimeter to guard these athletic guards, like whatever impact he has defensively is going to be felt, because the Wizards stunk last year as a team on defense. They stunk on defense. Their defensive rebounding wasn't good. And that's the area to me where I'm worried about with Saar. Can he develop the dog mentality to rebound? We don't know yet. In terms of short-term projection, I think Alex Saar is going to be able to make more of an impact right away. Long-term, though, I think is where it gets interesting. Because like I said, Saar could be Evan Mobley. 16 points, 9 rebounds, block and a half. Not an all-star, but he's number 2 overall pick. Bub Carrington, I think, has legit all-star level potential at the lead guard spot. I genuinely feel like he can prove himself to be one of the better guards in the NBA. Competitive on defense, explosive athlete, floor general, and ultimately a competitor. That, to me, is what has been most impressive about Bub, is him being a competitor. He's all about ball all the time. And I think it's so hard. I say it in football all the time, but like college athletes, period. Like, it is the toughest time ever to be a high school athlete and a college athlete based on how heavily involved social media is. That's how I feel about it. Bub Carrington's probably seen all the noise being talked about him on social from fans of Pitt that think he's trash, or high school folks that think he's trash, but he's in the NBA. So how trash is he? I think that kid's just got the right mental makeup, man, to be a legit bubbing star in this league, right? The term is budding star, but you get what I'm saying. Like, he's a legit scorer. Let's just call it what it is. I continue to be impressed with how he works in the pick and roll. And then his shots off the dribble, it's textbook. So use teach tape on how well our guy is shooting the basketball. It is so, so necessary. It is. He's got a chance to be good. I still, though, feel like, just based on the measurables, it's close for me
But I think Sarr, to me, still is the better projection and has the more upside moving forward when it comes to the totality of their career. I think he's got a better chance to be a better player. But I wouldn't be stunned if it ends up where Bub Carrington ultimately is the Wizards' best player from this rookie class. One cat we didn't mention, Keyshawn George, 20-year-old out of the University of Miami, left after his freshman campaign, played overseas the year before coming to Miami, and he's looked good. He shot the ball really well. I thought he's better as a ball handler than I initially gave him credit for. The only disappointing part about Summer League, when it comes to Sarr in particular, I can't really say it about the other two, I just wanted the motor to run more hot. I wanted him to play with more of a sense of urgency. Because let's be real, Doc Walker says it all the time, man, canines. You can't teach dog mentality. You either got it or you don't. And with Alex Sarr, the early returns through three games of Summer League is that he simply doesn't have it. Top of the 8 o'clock hour coming up here on Overtime. We will continue part three of our Washington Commanders position preview series. Linebackers and running backs coming up next here on The Fan.